Good morning, friends, or afternoon, or evening, or midday, whenever you may be catching this episode. Welcome to another conversation. And I say that because every time we get into this space, it's a recorded conversation between two people. And I'm just going to invite you, as I always would. Imagine we were in a coffee shop and you overheard what we were discussing, and you knew that it was almost like a Kairos moment. If you don't understand what the word Kairos means, it is this divine like orchestration of where you were, what season of life you were in, everything that's happening around you. You feel like that God knew that you needed it in this moment, and God put you in this moment. That's the conversation that you're going to hear. And I don't say that in a way to say like, I'm God, and I knew that things were happening in a specific way, but I am saying it in a way that I trust that God had you find this discussion right now. Right now, because there's something happening in your life that maybe you've questioned where you are. Maybe you've questioned the circle of friends that you have or don't have. Maybe you've been asking God, will you show me a sign that I know that you heard me? And then either you clicked on this intentionally or you quote unquote stumbled upon it. I don't believe in stumbling or coincidence. I believe that God set it up so that you would find it today to be able to hear what we talk about. If you've been in this space for any amount of time, you have probably heard me invite you to join me in prayer and considering changing the name of the podcast. Originally, the intention was to share the microphone with conversations and stories of people that are doing the work to be well and letting God untangle some of the knots and teach us how to unlearn some of the rhythms that we've identified with as our own identity. And every moment with God is then shared with each other because we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So each moment that we share with each person, God said, we get to moment them. We get to invite them into this space of the conversation with God. And that conversation helps us to adjust our focus. So the podcast has been called Momentum Focus, Moment apostrophe E-M, Focus. But lately God's been saying, good job. And now we move forward. Now we get to transition. And now we get to call it something else. And I don't even know what he's calling it. I don't know what it's called. Maybe that's the name of the podcast. I don't know what this is called. I don't know. But nonetheless, I'm here today because he keeps saying, keep building the ark. It makes no sense. It seems foolish because it's never rained until it rains and you realize that you got to be a part of this really big plan of rescue, redemption, reconciliation, restoration, peace, the promise, all of that. So I don't know, maybe it's going to be called the Ark. All I see is a felt Bible story in Sunday school. And I don't know that that's what he's doing. But today, the verse that he gave me originally was Ephesians 4:23, and it was this calling up to remind us that there's a plan that God has for each of our lives. And it looks like each of us coming together, knowing that every person plays a very specific role. The pinky finger does not play the role of the ear, and the eye doesn't play the role of the mouth and the knee and the shoulder. But as I sit in that verse, the heading at the top of Ephesians 4 in my Bible is the unity of the body. So it's not a but, it's an and, right? The unity of the body, knowing that there's a story that you tell that speaks of his glory that I will never be able to tell because it's not my story. Even if I am in relationship with you and you and I share a story, the way you saw it as the shoulder is not even close to the way I saw it as the heel. Two different parts of the body, You see things in a different angle and perspective, and there's a really good chance that the heel and the shoulder will never be side by side. Unless you're like a contortionist, but that's a whole other conversation, not for today. So verse 23 from the Good News Translation says, your hearts and minds must be made completely new. Verse 24 says, and you must put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. I could do probably a whole series of episodes from Ephesians 4. Today, I am sharing the mic with a kindred soul. You know how you meet people and you're like, oh my gosh, I think we were friends in like pre-K. And then you realize like you just met them, but then you start making greater connections with them and you realize like, oh man, we were cut from the same cloth. And God was really kind to bring us together. But even still, in this same way of realizing one might be the shoulder and one is the elbow. And it's a beautiful friendship that I don't take lightly. And God was kind enough to put me in the same city, even though we're still far away. I'm like, we're so close, but we're so far. So I have with me today the one and only Ashley Stoller.
Hey. The one and
Ashley,
only.
Ashley, you're the one and only. There will never be, can never be another Ashley Stoller because Ashley is genuine and kind and loving and bold. And I was reading something this morning and it was funny because it was from like the Harvard Business Review. And I don't ever read the Harvard Business Review, but somehow I stumbled on this newsletter and they were talking about being in relationship with people to help them pull out their best. And this is a paraphrase of what I read from it. And it said, you could either approach things from a very big picture and say, let's consider all the possible ways that we could clean teeth, right? Or you could say, actually, there's a way to really clean teeth, but it's abrasive. And then like when your tongue scrapes across your teeth, you're like, I know I just got my teeth cleaned. Everybody wants to see it, right? And it said, sometimes you are called to see big picture and consider all the possibilities, but other times you are called to be in community. And this was talking about a business community, but be in community with people that are willing to be the abrasive cleanser. And that's like, you're one of those people for me. That like when I've spent time with you, I'm like, oh, I'm clean. Y'all want to see and smile like really big, right? Like you're walking around like somebody asked me to smile because I just got my teeth clean, right? It's that.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for the way your vulnerability shows up in spaces that help people know that they just got their teeth cleaned. And I don't know that you know that. So I want to say it publicly so that you know, like I'm giving you your flowers while you're here and you can enjoy them. You know
what
I
mean? Yeah.
So at any rate, y'all, I'm gonna let Ashley introduce herself. She and I met through Revelation Wellness as fitness instructors going through training. She had gone through training before I got there. I got a chance to meet her husband when he was serving within the ministry. And again, like I said, her and her husband just feel like kindred souls to my family. And I cherish them both. So I'm going to stop talking. Ashley, tell the people who you are.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, just thank you for that. I was sitting over here already like in tears because I'm like, wow, Lord, I didn't know that I needed to hear that. So thank you. Yes. So I'm Ashley Stoller and I think we met back in 2016, maybe 2015, somewhere around there. And I remember coming across one of your videos because again, we have connected through Revelation Wellness. And I remember seeing one of your workouts and I was like, I saw how you moved and just your joy and everything, the music that you picked. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I need to know this woman. And I think that's when I sent you a friend request or messaged you or something. I was like, I feel like I need to know you. So, but yeah, so we have, you know, we've been connected for several years now, and it's been really, you have been one of those people in my life that has sharpened me and called me up and out of my junk. And it's just been a real delight to grow with you. So I'm Ashley, and I don't really have this long, big introduction of myself. I can say that I am a woman that is seeking after the heart of God in all of the ways and trying to be well physically, mentally, spiritually. And he has me in an interesting season of life. And so that's what I was hoping we could talk about today. I'm going to start out with the scripture in Matthew, and then we'll just dive right in. But so the Lord has given me this scripture now for several weeks. Actually, I keep going back to this word, and it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it." Part of my story is really, I went through a season where I felt really healthy and really whole physically. And I was able to be present with my family and, you know, create those memories. And I just felt good in my own skin. And I ended up expecting our fourth child, which we were very excited about. That is a redemptive story in and of itself, that the Lord would bless us with four children after lots of struggle in the fertility department and just, you know, that desire in me to be a mom and for us to start a family. So in that, as you know, us women, we get the joy of the roller coaster ride of all the hormones and how our bodies change. And just coming out of this really, like I said, a healthy season, like what felt like a really fruitful and energetic season, into fourth pregnancy and, you know, all of the things that come with that, still with a grateful heart though. And then after our fourth was delivered, and during that last trimester of time, a lot of life stuff started to happen, and I found myself in a really difficult mental struggle. And at that point in my physical body, the goal was to have a healthy baby and to try to take care of myself as much as I could. But with all of the life things that were going on at that time that just kept compiling, I started to feel really defeated. And then after having our baby, I fell down into this spiral of like really hardcore postpartum depression and anxiety. And I have experienced it before, but this was a little bit different. And through that, it lasted for a long time too. So our baby now, he is 19 months old. He's like, we're almost a toddler. He is a toddler. Who am I kidding? He's, and he's amazing and he's incredible. But the fight for a sober mind has been intense in this season of post-birth. And I found myself running back to food for comfort. And so I want to just open this conversation up with the how our physical bodies, when when we are in a place where we feel lost and defeated and hopeless and disappointed, how our physical bodies tend to respond. And then it's like everything else just compiles and adds on. And sometimes you get to a point where it's really hard to pull yourself out of the pit, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's where I was. I couldn't pull myself out of the pit. And it was like this vicious cycle. You know, every day I'd wake up and I'd say, okay, today's going to be a better day. I'm going to try again to try to take care of myself. And I've lost count at how many mornings I woke up like that. And just by the end of the day, felt so disappointed and defeated. In all of that, you know, I ended up gaining quite a bit of physical weight that I had lost at one point. And I felt a lot of shame around that. I struggled with what people thought of me. I didn't even like what I thought about myself. And so fast forward to where I'm at right now in this season with the Lord, He's got me in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, entering through the narrow gate. Because I have tried it all and I have white knuckled things. I have tried to take control and make things happen in my strength. I have turned my heart and my eyes away from the Lord to think that I could do it on my own. And He has just gently guided me back to Himself. And He's got me in this space. And this is what I shared with you earlier in conversation. I'm in this, what feels like a tight season, but it's not, it's a pressure, but it's not this like heavy yoke of defeat or striving or perfection. That's not what He's asking me in this season. He is drawing me in. And I thought about this too, when I said like a tight seat, like think of a hug as He's drawing you in and He's hugging you tight, squeezing you almost. That's my narrow gate right now. That is my narrow road. That is where I'm at. And it goes against a lot of what our society wants to say, even in Christian communities, of this idea of freedom. And, you know, we oftentimes will get ourselves into a place where we're abusing our freedom and allowing our freedom to take us to the wide gate and the wide road that many are going through, but it leads to destruction.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm starting out today.
Let's just go in strong. No, it reminds me of a passage that I recently read in a Bible study on freedom that I'm doing. And for what it's worth, when I received the invitation to go through the study, my initial like gut response was, been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I had to realize that I had been asking God to, kind of like you said, the hug, to bring me closer to Him, to understand His heart behind certain words that have been like you said, like had been tossed around by even Christian cultures of like, here's who we get to be, right? Because even to hear you say like the feelings of defeat and to draw near and freedom and change and kindness and growth and all these phrases that we hear both in, you know, the world and in Christian circles, of how to live in Christ, that some of these words, I'm like, oh my gosh, if I hear one more person say it, I might throw up. And I've been asking Him like, God, I know that when You gave us these words in Your word, that they were an invitation of how to live with guidelines and guardrails, but not so restrictive that we don't enjoy life, because You gave us this life that we could live it abundantly, right?
Amen. Yep.
And live it in freedom and in joy and celebration with each other. But some of those words have felt flippant.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the invitation to be a part of a freedom Bible study, I kind of was like, I'm sick of people talking about being free and we're not.
we're really not. Like, no, let's just really get down to business about it.
Right. Like my brother, when we were younger, my brother would say, let's not, and say we did. Right. And it's been that kind of attitude that God in his kindness has been like, oh man, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find the passage because I don't want to misquote it. But it was this reminder of, it was a reminder and an invitation that in order for us to live in freedom, there's going to have to be some sacrifice on our part, because Jesus right. has done the sacrificing, and it's getting us out of our comfort zones of where we've, like you said, we've run back to the food, or, and I literally made a note, run back right. to the food or the thing,
the
whatever.
Thing. Fill in the blank. It was food for me.
Right. Fill in that the blank. Run back to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, can we talk about why the invitation to the life that I invited you to before, why my invitation, where he keeps calling us back, mm-hmm. why you're rolling your eyes at this thing that I want to give you, that you yeah. feel like you've already been there and done that and got enough, mm. and yet you're still struggling.
Yeah, that's
but the very thing that you took, you yeah. know?
Yeah, I think the freedom, when we surrender our lives to Jesus and we submit ourselves to him and we yield ourselves to him, there is a freedom there that we don't lose. Like, he doesn't take it away.
Yeah.
He doesn't take it away. We get distracted. We get stressed. We get focused on all these other things. And then it's just like, we lose focus.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
lose our focus and our eyes and our the affections of our hearts turn to other things. And so, as we're talking about like the importance of words, even the word holiness, we don't really like to talk about, at least I don't feel like we really like to talk about holiness or sanctification and how right. that goes hand in hand with our freedom.
Yeah.
Because yes, we now have that John 10:10 promise, you know, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus said that he came that we would have life and life to the full and abundance of life. Mm-hmm. But don't you know that, like you said, that it costs us something, and we have to be willing to put aside some things. And yeah. I mean, like, let's just get honest. Sin, what we consider sin and what we consider not sin. I mean, I think sometimes like our society and even in Christian culture, we kind of blur the lines and we err on the side of like abusing the grace that's been given to us instead of fully embracing it and living in it and realizing that we have been bought with at a very high cost. We have been purchased and we no longer belong to ourselves.
Yeah. It brings me to, just as you were talking, I've been jotting down some notes and I wrote the words freedom perceived, right? Mm-hmm. Our perception of what we think freedom is, even in a season where we were quote unquote our healthiest selves.
Right.
We probably, and I'm just speaking from my own experience, mm-hmm. we probably hadn't even scratched the surface of the freedom that God actually is giving us.
Right. Yeah.
And our perception of it is, I'm good, man, this feels so good. If you never do another thing, and like we've quoted that, if he yes. never did another thing for me, I'd be all right. Well, yeah. bless yeah. it, because he's got more, right?
Exactly.
And it just, even to hear you say the words like holiness and sanctification, I think we don't know what those are. Mm-hmm. Because we haven't even walked in it for the like totality of what it was. And someone could say, well, bless the Lord, like we're never going to walk in the totality of it until Christ returns. And then we will all be, you know, flawless and perfected. but to what you
right
said
here,
about
right
John
now,
10. Right now, like
right
not
now.
In the then and there, but like right now, we were called to live in it in this body.
Yes.
That he gave us so that people can actually see us, so that we become a reflection of the promise, not perfect.
Amen. Right.
But walking it out, mistake by mistake, freedom by freedom, glory to glory, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so I pulled up the quote that I read the other day that I was like, oh, I just like I'm chewing on it and drinking it like it's water for a thirsty, weary summer, August day in Florida.
Ooh.
Hot and humid and like this should be against the law to feel like this, right? Like my flesh is literally burning. And I think you'll appreciate the heading from this study. It's titled I Surrender All. And it makes me think of that hymn, I Surrender All. And it says, there are many areas of our lives that we need to surrender to God. These include our plans, goals, pleasures, ambitions, hurts, the future, the past, selfishness, ego, sin, pride, physical appearance, lust, anger, fear, and health. We must also surrender unforgiveness because holding on to an offense is essentially saying that we have a right to withhold grace from someone. This type of pride is an idol that will cause a wedge between God and us. The reason I share that is because like, even as, so back to the whole freedom perceived, as we are tapping into like my body changing and kindness towards the change, pausing and recognizing like I might've been in a season where things were happening well, like you shared in your story. And then God says, yeah, they were happening really well. And there's more. Yeah. And somewhere there was a wedge that got in between us and God. And he loves us so much that he says, hey, remember how that felt as you were going through the process of change? And you were like, okay, this feels great. I feel like I'm in my body and I know me and I'm a vessel carrying this message. And he's like, yeah, you are. And there's more.
Yeah. You
so
haven't
like
arrived
going
yet.
Back, yeah. Like going back to my healthiest self, he's like, what if that wasn't the healthiest you?
And I know for a fact that it wasn't for me. It was good, right? Like it was good. And I can look back at that and be like, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that season. But I mean, just being honest, like my heart now is more free than what it was then when the physical body was healthier. And I think there's something to say about that. I think that looking back on the outside, because man makes it about appearances. And we even though we're following after Jesus, we still get stuck in that mindset sometimes of making it about our bodies.
Yep.
And we make it about what we see in front of us. And then we get trapped in comparison. And then, or comparison like, oh, they seem very successful, even by just the way that they look and carry themselves. And you don't know what's actually going on inside of them. And that is like, for me, that's when like red flags start going up. Like the Holy Spirit gets my attention and it's like, Hey, wait, like look at them as a whole person. You don't really know what's going on underneath this outer shell. And then sometimes actually we can physically see it on people, you know? And so, we can't compare and, you've heard that quote, comparison is the thief of all joy.
Right.
And I mean, that's pretty accurate, because the minute that we start looking at the outward appearance and we start to envy or, you know, just really desire what that person has, or even when we compare to our past self,
right.
When we thought we knew, but now the deeper work that the Lord has done through the suffering, and nobody wants to talk about that. the deep work that if we allow him to do in the suffering, we actually come out on the other end more free And again, like I said, he's not taking our freedom away, but he's building onto it. That like, and same like with our healing, it's that tension of we celebrate and live in the healing that has come, and we are hopeful of the healing still yet to come.
Yeah. I mean, and it even, I don't know, like it makes me think of like, I keep coming back to the kindness of God because his kindness leads to repentance,
yes,
is what the word says, right? And his kindness, to what the point that you made earlier of like the work that's done in our heart is 10 times better than a temporary outer fix, right?
Yes.
In his kindness, he does this work in our heart, which then shifts our focus, adjusts our focus, right? To then, right? Turns out that's a thing, right? He adjusts the lens.
Yes.
That we could be in the exact same body. The work has happened in our heart. The words that come out of our mouth about this same body have now changed.
Yes.
I stand in front of the mirror. Nothing about our body has changed. And now all of a sudden we see something completely different, and his kindness lets us see the work.
Yes.
Right?
Ooh,
like
yes.
you, right? Like you stand, oh, it makes me, you stand in front of the mirror and nothing has changed. You're the exact same size, wearing the exact same size clothes. You put on the exact dress that you tried on 2 weeks ago that was too tight. The dress hasn't changed. Your body hasn't changed, but your heart and your mind and your perceptions of what you see coming back at you in the mirror have completely transformed.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you're standing there in the same skin. A completely different person.
Yes.
And then you walk outside and someone notices you. And rather than you thinking that they looked at you and judged you or spoke ill about you, the glaring eyes are now eyes of admiration because they see something different.
They see something different. We've been, I think when you were saying that and explaining that, that is the reflection of someone who's been with Jesus.
Yeah.
You've been with him in the secret places. You've been with him in the hard places. You have laid on your face and you have surrendered. You've just lifted. I mean, I remember just literally laying on my face and saying, Lord, like, I just want to hear your voice. Quiet all the noise. Because that, the noise, and a lot of it, you know, noise that I'm creating, but even just the noise of society and our culture and the world. And to just be with him, we're so distracted. But when we allow ourselves the space to slow down and be with him and just get still and quiet and give him a second, he speaks. And it is his kindness that comes. He comes in that gentle whisper of reminding us of who we are because of him, because of who he is.
Yeah, like when you were talking earlier about this, him drawing you in like a big hug.
Yeah.
I was reminded of Psalm 91, and one translation says, his wraparound presence surrounds my life. And we know, like from his word, he promises that in his presence is the fullness of joy. And then I'm reminded, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In that presence, we find kindness, we find provision, we find out more about his identity, and then we get to see our own identity.
Yeah.
Because we start hearing the truth about why he created us and how he created us and that he created us versus, like you said, the noise of the world that would, I don't know. I don't want to make somebody believe that we're shaming the world and we say like, oh, forget the world. Cause we're in it. We're just not, we don't have to live by a standard that whether it's your life status, your age, your race, you know, family of origin. Like, we don't have to live by the world's guidelines that say, here's who you quote unquote should be, mm-hmm. based on where you are. Again, age, marriage, whatever, pick a status. Mm-hmm. We don't have to live by that standard. God actually raises the standard. And what if we are now the standard?
I want to go to Deuteronomy 14:2, where the word says, you have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all nations of the earth to be his own special treasure. There's that word holy, set apart, the definition dedicated or consecrated to God. That's not something to be taken lightly.
Right.
But it's also not something to that we, like, you know, tighten up our suits and like walk around like we're better than everybody. But we have a hope that this world doesn't have. And so when you said, like, what if we are the standard? Yeah. That idea of holiness and sanctification. So the definition for sanctification, I know you and I both are word people. Like, we like to look up definitions to things. So sanctification, the action, and I highlighted that word, the action of making or declaring something holy, the action or process of being freed from sin or purified. So we can't forget that, like, that holiness is set apart, and that sanctification is a progressive work that makes us more like him.
It's I was going to say work. The action, it's ongoing.
Ongoing. Right? Yes. As long as we're on this side.
Mistake after mistake. Yeah.
it's a progressive work that gets us closer in our identity as a mirror of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Man, it's like, I really pray that is an encouragement for someone listening, because even to know that, and I don't know the exact scripture, so don't at me, but the verse that says, in him we live, breathe, and have our being, those are all active verbs.
Yes. Yeah.
To live is active. It's not past tense. We live, move. To move is ongoing, right? Mm-hmm. The word itself is ongoing. And to have our being, anytime you put ing at the end of a word, means that it is an active participle, right? Mm-hmm. And even as you were just giving the definition of holy, on my notes, I drew an arrow from that definition back to the word holiness, because anytime you put ness at the end of a word, it is the active process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come back to sanctification.
Yeah.
It's not a one and done.
And all of these things go hand in hand with our freedom in Christ and how we live out that John 10:10 life that we've talked about, that life to the full.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we get this thought in our mind that, oh, well, that's so restrictive. And that means I have to, you know, get rid of X, Y, and Z. Well, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
When we say it's going to cost us something, yeah, it's going to cost us, because, you know, if we aren't careful, we can tend to be very selfish people. Mm. And especially, like, and I want to say this too, like, because I have experienced those seasons of, you know, hopelessness, and just depression and anxiety. And I want to speak to that, because I think for me personally, I knew that there was a lot more going on, but my heart, like I said earlier, my heart and the affections of my heart turned to other things. And I recognize that now. And I was by his kindness and that gentle whisper and just meeting with me and saying, hey, I haven't left you. That led me to repent and be aware of the things that I had put before him that I was running to for comfort, and that I was running to it out of control, like to control something, to get a result that I thought that I needed to have. But in that season, he reminded me that he was not exhausted with me continuing to bring that thing to him. Mm-hmm. And again, fill in the blank of whatever the thing is for you. If it's food, or if it's like obsessing about your body and maybe you're starving yourself and exercising too much. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your job, money. I mean, your comfort, like whatever that thing is, if we can pull away from all of the distractions and get back down to like the bare bones of this, that he has set us apart, that there is an active process of sanctification and being set apart and being holy, but also this whole freedom thing. It is like I said earlier, you're not your own.
Yeah.
And to be able to come back to that place and repent from making it about the wrong things, or turning to the things that you created idols out of, you know, I mean, it's being able to turn to stop what you're doing, turn around and just go back to him. That's repentance, right?
Yeah. It's a couple of things that you said that I wrote down, the gentle whisper. And I've heard people say, you know, well, I don't know that I hear from God. Mm-hmm. Like I've come to understand that he's not going to compete with noise.
Right.
But he'll send messages to you in the way that you hear and in the spaces where you are, so that he can get to you, because his word promises that he's also really patient.
Yes.
To make sure that none of us miss it.
Slow to anger.
Yeah, slow to anger. And it says he's not slow like we know slow. He's right. Just patient till we get it, right? And then even as you were talking about the holiness and a sanctification, I'm reminded of the verse that says, be holy as I am holy, right? Yeah. And it's a process of coming and going and coming and going and coming and getting mm-hmm. it wrong and then getting it right and getting it right
and coming not, back
and coming back, right? And not getting it right and then being pious and looking down our noses at other people, shooting mm-hmm. on them.
Right.
If you're listening and you think I just cursed, I said should, SHOULD. On people, because we don't get very far shaming and blaming.
No. And shame God has never been a good motivator.
Right. And God will never use it, because his word literally says that when we're in his presence, we will never be brought to shame.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Like to stay in his presence. And I don't know, like when I come back to that Psalm 91, the invitation to stay in his presence, everything we could possibly need, we find in his presence.
In his presence.
He's not going to ask us, like, could you hurry up already? You've been here long enough.
Right.
Right? Because if you look at Galatians 5, of all the list of the sins, and it's funny because, like, we have a really good way of going through that list and saying, well, my sin wasn't listed, so I'm good.
Mm.
Right? It didn't list it. I read 10 different translations. I never found my sin. Well, one translation says, and anything of the such. Right. Mm-hmm. So what's your of the such? And mm-hmm. then if you keep going in that verse, it starts talking about, but this life in the spirit, that when we live and walk in the spirit, that here are all the other things. And several mm-hmm. translation kind of lists them out in more detail of the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. And then it says, and in these things, there is no limit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this invitation of his presence could be listed in the list of what you find in the spirit,
right?
Because he is spirit. And when where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom,
right?
To have the full abundance of all of this.
Right.
And there's no limit. Mm-hmm. Right. Like God says, like, hey, come and stay in my presence. Stay a while.
Yes.
And then go.
Mm-hmm. And come back.
And come back. And because I started a couple of weeks ago saying this really simple prayer, Christ within me, Holy Spirit surrounding me. Oh, what is it? I said, Holy Spirit surrounding me, Christ within me, God for me, or something like that, where it mm-hmm. was, I'm covered front, back, in and out, up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to go knowing that his spirit went before me.
Yeah.
That he stands guard to watch behind me.
Yeah.
That he is within me. Mm-hmm. And I will never leave his presence because his presence stays around me. But if by chance I make the assumption that his presence is not with me, it's because I stepped out of it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You can go from this place of knowing that you, that he is with you, that you have been with him. Mm. I love that.
Yeah. It, so, okay. I'm going to come back to a song reference because like God speaks to me in songs.
Same. We speak in music.
Right. Right. Yeah. So know that he sings over us.
And that's right.
He's delighted to sing over us. And he, when he sings over us, he speaks the language of our soul that I believe is song, right? Because it's all words. But as you were talking about the gentle whisper and getting down to the bare bones, I thought of a song called Bones. It is not a Christian song. The artist, I believe her name is Marin something.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah. And in the song, she says, if the bones are good, the rest don't matter.
Marin is preaching.
Ezekiel, right? Straight out of Ezekiel, that he breathed on the bones and they came back to life. And if you think of the worship song, that he will turn those bones into armies,
mm-hmm.
and the graves become gardens. And to go ahead and reference another song, like there is not a single mountain he won't climb up,
mm-hmm.
and a wall he won't bust down. To literally see to it that we come back to his presence.
That's right.
And sometimes the walls are the ones that we've erected and fortified on our own,
mm-hmm.
in all of our anger and justifiedness. I'm just going to have a shirt made that says Ness.
Ness.
N-E-S-S. Yeah. And if somebody says, what does that mean? Put a word in front of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you being? Because Ness is a state of being.
Yeah. That song Bones, I'm pretty sure it is called Bones. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But later on, so after that scripture in Matthew 7:13-14 about the narrow gate, mm-hmm. later on, Jesus goes to talk about the wise and the foolish builders. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to go there real quick and we can kind of go through this. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock.
Mm.
But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Sometimes I think we point our finger at God when we're in that great crash and we're like, why did you leave me? Why did you? And you said it earlier. It's because I've stepped away.
Yeah.
He never left. My gaze went to other things and I stepped away. I tried to find hope in all of these other things when he was waiting and he was present. He was there. Even in the deepest, darkest pit, he's there. And so often we want to, and it's because we want, like, we do want to feel better about our situation and we get angry and we like, but God, why did I have to go through that? Why did my family have to go through that? And we get real big, right? Like we just get all puffed up and get real big and we deal with all of the emotions of anger and hurt and then he's still just standing there. Wait, he never left.
Yeah. I mean, even as you were just talking, I made another note. I wrote the word Ness in big letters. Matthew 7:13-14 is a very Ness verse.
Yeah, it is.
Of like, pick the thing that Jesus is talking about.
Uh-huh.
And consider what is your nestness.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not a word, but like
we're making it a word today.
We're making it a word, like the nestness.
Mm-hmm.
Because to put that suffix at the end of the word is the process and state of, right? If you say fitness, the process and state of being fit. And then you would have to look up what does fit mean, right?
Yeah.
And whether Matthew 7:13 of building on a solid foundation, being groundedness or beingness or buildingness. I don't know that buildingness is a word, like,
yeah,
right. Just, I don't know, like, cause I was toying with like, what do we call this episode? And it's officially called Your Nessness.
Your Nessness.
It's not a word. All the like speech pathologists and linguists are coming for me. They're like, this is a word. Well, according to Webster's Urban Dictionary, we can add new words.
We can add it. Yeah.
Every 5 years, I think it is. So, but it just to like, I don't know, even to recognize, like, I keep coming back to the holiness and sanctification part because the process of both of those are almost nemesis to comparison, right? Because we could get trapped in the process of sanctification and holiness and start comparing it to other people's process.
Yeah.
And there's a completely different process. I meant to text you when I saw this, but I was watching this documentary In Flight. And it's this documentary with the actor Stanley Tucci, where he goes on this venture to find Italy.
Yes, I love that show.
There's one episode where he goes back to this village that is known for their poverty, right? Everyone that came out of that village, they either left and never came back, or they left and came back to try to sustain what was kind of there. And he interviews this woman who's a chef that her specialty is making sourdough bread. And I thought of you.
Yes.
Right. It was a very, if I can find the episode and send it to you, and I'm trying to remember bits of it, but now that we've had this conversation, I'm watching the process of sourdough and I'm like, that's Ness in its fullness.
Oh yeah. What a progressive work that is.
Right. That then can duplicate itself.
Yes. And continue to grow.
And continue to grow. And to
continue to rise.
And multiply.
Yeah.
And feed. And they were saying that sourdough has been a staple of this poverty-stricken area because it has the ability to multiply itself and sustain.
That's a word.
Right?
Yeah.
It's that's next. It.
Yeah. Wow. In
itself, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like in all of our getting, like the Bible says, in all of your getting, get understanding.
Understanding. Yeah.
Right. It's Ness. Mm-hmm. Understanding is Ness. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep coming back to that word. And I know God's going to use it because it just feels very much Genesis 1 through Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pick yeah. a verse. There's a way that God has said, like, there's a process that I'm walking you through that is both original design.
Yeah.
And the very fact that I put you on this earth and things went in a different direction, is God surprised by it? No.
No.
But he's calling it back to its nestness.
Yeah.
To of himself. The original,
yeah.
right, to himself. He is himself ness.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Multifaceted, omniscient, omnipresent. This is yes. God. And he created us to be able to carry that same fullness.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy came in there and said, did you know that you're God? We're not.
The accuser, right. The questioner. Yeah.
Right. For him to say, let's be full of yourself in your nestness.
Mm-hmm.
And own it yourself. You don't need God. But God's like, actually, I'm the one that fills you up. I'm the one that gives you the nestness.
Yeah.
Your nest came from my nest.
Right.
In duplication yeah. To duplicate healthy disciples.
The multiply. Yeah.
The multiplication.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the enemy says, no, we're actually going to work on division and subtraction, not addition and multiplication. So I hate math, but there you go. Yeah. but I digress. Okay, I know that's a strange place for us to stop, but we could keep going and there could be so many things that we could carry into, and I feel like it's going to be a part two. The thing that I do want to circle back to is what Ashley started with the wide and the narrow, the road, the path that we're on. And I remember talking to another sister and I was telling her like these two verses keep coming up and I never saw them running parallel. And anytime I see scriptures that run parallel to each other that seemingly should not run parallel to each other, she helped me to see that that's God marking out a path because his word says, my word is a light to your path.
To my path. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like all that we've been talking about, there's a couple different verses that I would have not even seen them in this perspective had we not had this conversation. And now I see them as narrow paths that in order to get through the narrow way, there are some things that have to be gotten rid of because Jesus says, like, you cannot get through this road with all that stuff, all the people, right?
Yeah.
And there are relationships that we'll have to let God pick off.
Yeah.
Because if we do it, we might make a mistake. Jesus says that don't go trying to sift the wheat and the weeds if you don't know what you're doing. And I'm paraphrasing it because you could mistakenly pick off wheat, assuming it was a weed. Because if you look at the two, they almost look identical.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be someone that's a part of your life. I don't know who I'm talking to. There could be someone that's a part of your life that you feel like they are a weed, but God actually has them in there to help you grow.
Yeah,
there could be a memory or a habit or a thing that you feel like because it has been so abrasive, like we talked about the teeth cleaning, the process and the procedure of it could be for strengthening your relationship with your walk with Christ.
Yeah.
With seeing God in a different perspective or even standing in the mirror and seeing yourself in a new light. I wrote a note to myself on that page about surrendering, and it says, surrendering myself to see who I am allows me to relearn me at this stage of faith and trust in God. So I really hope that this conversation today has helped you to learn how to live in the moment, right? Like the world says, like, be in the moment and be present. But I don't think we know how to do that. And I don't know. Like, I know that God is constantly inviting us.
Yeah.
Constantly inviting us. And he does it as an invitation because he's a gentleman. He is not going to grab, like, he'll use the shepherd's hook to pull you in because he's the shepherd and we're stubborn sheep. And he will snatch us by the collar. And have us sit down and he'll talk to us. Cause it says in Psalm 23 that he makes me lie down. It's not a, hey, would you like to come and take a nap? He's like, I'm gonna have to knock your feet from underneath you. So you'll actually lay down.
Mm-hmm.
When you lay down, you're going to realize, oh my gosh, I don't know. It took me so long. It's actually a plush green field. I'm not laying on rocks and gravel, but he's going to make me lay down. And he's going to feed me in front of my enemies.
Yeah.
Why would we say no to that?
Right.
And he's going to take care of me. And he's going to make sure that if there's any part of my wool that's weighing me down, he's going to take it off of me and then ready me for new growth. Mm. And what he sheds off of me will actually be used.
Yeah. Like that it won't go to waste.
It will not go to waste.
It won't go to waste.
It will not. That's a whole other conversation. Cause now I'm like, oh God, like what it could be used for.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
And everything that we've gone through, the process, the pain, the squeezing, the pressing, it's for new.
Yeah.
It's for new. And we can't keep coming back to the old.
Nope.
Wanting to be her or him, if there's a guy that's listening. But I want to go ahead and wrap the conversation because I know we could keep going. And there's so many things that are coming up in my mind right now that like this just needs to be like a 3-day workshop. but I'm grateful for your transparency, Ashley. And I know that God is going to use you to, he's already using you, but I know that he's going to use you to speak to several people, whether it be through this episode or in your social media, your immediate, like in-person circle of influence. Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage you to just keep opening your mouth,
yeah,
because
thank you.
You're cleaning teeth.
Cleaning like, teeth. Watch out. We're going to talk about some things.
Start buzzing like.
Start brushing.
but it's a beautiful thing, because then you help people to see, like, I have a beautiful smile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And they see the reflection of themselves, and then they see the work that God's doing.
Right.
And yeah. They may not always know that it was you that did it. And mm-hmm. so they may not come back to say, hey, Ashley, remember that time? Like, they may not even realize that that's who you were for them. Mm-hmm. You might see it and you might know, I got to do that.
Yeah.
And they may not know to come back and thank you, or they may not even humble themselves enough to say thank you. So on behalf of the ones that you're doing the work for, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because we all got something in our teeth that needs to be picked out.
Like, here comes Ashley with the floss.
Right. She's flossing today.
Oh, boy.
I mean, like, come on. Like, only God would say, like, yeah, I'm going to use you to be a dental hygienist for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Like, just go ahead and get in there where the last night's dinner got stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't put on some lipstick and don't even know it's stuck in their teeth.
It's still there.
Like,
let's go back there and get
gift,
that.
Right? Like, what a gift. Yeah. I was going to say it's the verse in James where we look in the mirror and we see the reflection and we walk away like nothing's wrong. But that's a work on us. We have to do that.
Yeah.
But I know that he's calling you to even potentially just have the mirror ready.
Yeah. I definitely have been feeling more pressed to go into those maybe darker spaces and the hidden spaces and just, you know, I mentioned this on my Instagram stories and just going into some dark rooms with my flashlight.
Right. Like a headlamp, right?
Yes.
I was
come
sober
on,
yesterday.
Who's in here? Because you don't want to stay in here. Let's go. Come on.
Right. I was driving behind a car and they had a sticker on their back windshield that said, I live for the mining. And then underneath it, it said, honor the coal workers.
Wow.
And that's it. Like, you're mining with a headlamp. Mm. Going in.
That's hard work too. Let me just tell you.
It's hard work, right?
It's hard work.
Digging for gold.
But hard doesn't mean bad all the time. Hard doesn't mean bad all the time. So it's worth it. It's worth the work. And one thing I want to leave with you is, consider that narrow gate. Like, consider the narrow road. Consider the narrow path. And think of it as, like what we said at the very beginning of this podcast, as the Lord bringing you in for a hug, and he's kind of squeezing you to help you get through that narrow gate. Because new things come out when we allow him to do that pressing, if you will, or that it's that new wineskin like that we talked about. You know, don't pour the old, don't go back to the thing that you always go back to, but allow him to pour into that new wineskin and let him hug you through that narrow gate.
I mean, it's okay. I'm not going to be using the video for this, only the audio. So I'm just going to pause and snap a photo, because Ashley Stoller is my people.
That's right.
Well, Ashley, I'm grateful for you. And I do think that it's going to be a part two.
Yay, absolutely. Let's keep the conversation going. And next time, let's do it in person.
Yeah, listen. I think next time we do it in person, we have a live audience.
That would be fun. Let's do it.
All right. If y'all live in Florida, get ready. Or if you live anywhere near Florida, just get ready to like book your flight, because that's what we're going to do.
All right.
This for real, I'm closing, because if not, we keep going. I hope the conversation has helped you to adjust your focus. Listen, there's a new thing that we've added to the podcast where there's a poll, and you can respond to the poll. You can answer some of the questions that are connected to the podcast, no matter if you're listening on Apple or on Spotify. And we just want to engage in some conversation with you. If you see the audio clip show up on Instagram, you can engage in the conversation there as well. You'll see the poll questions over on the podcast, either in Apple, here in Apple or Spotify, and once you've seen the poll and you've seen the questions, then come over to our social media, either at Instagram or at Facebook, and engage in the dialogue there. So we keep this podcast going because it's yours. It's your conversation. This is not the Amiya Freeman show. Sorry, it's not. It won't ever be. I'm not doing that. Anything else, Ashley, before we sign out?
No, I'm excited about the next time we get to be together and do this.
Yeah, me as well.
Thank you for having me.
Until we get to chat with you again, whether it is in person or it's across these interwebs, I'm grateful that you leaned in and that you listened. And I really do pray that it allows you to grow in more freedom and to adjust your focus. Until next time, be well.